If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We are seeing the conclusion of what was going to happen, the conclusion of decades of colonialism by Israel over its Eastern Front, with the goal of controlling the Middle East up to China. And it couldn't go any other way. Just a repeat of what people who are old enough have experienced again and again, which is a series of lies to justify the stepping over of another country's sovereignty. This has been going on since the 80s, maybe, at least, that I can remember, probably before. But certainly since the 80s, America has been engaged in this series of war. The reason you can go in Dubai right now, if you're a millionaire, and celebrate in hotels with luxury stuff and displays and neon lightings behind you, is American colonialism. And for the first time, Fadam said something in the Patreon private hangout in the Discord server. By the way, if you want to be in the private chat room, join the Patreon at the $20 level. He said something that I feel absolutely deeply this time. I don't feel that we went in a war. I don't feel anymore that I'm part of America. I feel like America has been taken over by a force, and we have to just acknowledge it, that this is the new America. This is the new the state of America since the 80s, really. And we have to just acknowledge that the force, that the subversive force that took over the American military then is America. We are the weirdos. If you think of yourself as a Christian who values life, or as a descendant of the Christians who doesn't have much interest in fucking up the Middle East, you are foreign to America. I'm sorry. And this is what I realized. I am foreign to America. And America at this point is a kind of outpost of Israel and Israel's desire for hegemony over what seems to be the entire globe, honestly. There's not much more than an entire globe theory that explains Israeli behavior and bloodthirst. From Venezuela to Iran, it's like wherever they can get away with it. And what we're dealing with here is the absolute bloodthirst of greed. We are dealing with a country that will never be happy. They consider themselves in their right to demand that other countries be collaborative with them. Iran didn't attack anyone. This has not been caused by an Iranian attack. For the last few years, all of the attacks that I've seen from Iran were in response to illegitimate strikes, to internal disruption by other countries, to violations of their sovereignty, little coups that America was trying to do or Israel was trying to do. This has been a nation that has had to endure violation of its sovereignty constantly and has been replying with couples of missile salvos, very ineffective ones, toward American bases and Israel. And this has been the story for many years. I can't remember a time at which Iran has been waging an aggressive war unjustified, as that wasn't a response to a strike that pre-existed it. And now we have killed their leaders. We have killed some of the higher ups in the I don't feel part of we anymore. But we have killed some Khamenei and some of the leaders of the military, and then they got replaced by other leaders who also got whopped by missiles. So that seems to be the state of the situation right now. A airstrike that was meant to decapitate the leadership of Iran, and that was done at the request of Israel. In fact, it was done under emotional blackmail, various layers of it, and it's almost impossible to describe all of the layers. But it goes from the funding of politicians in America, it goes from the funding of media in America, it goes into the blackmailing of politicians in America, and then it moves to the more present blackmailing of Marco Rubio, who came publicly and said, well, we made an excellent decision to strike Iran because Israel told us they were going to anyway. And we had evidence that if they were going to, Iran would strike back by bombarding us. And so we acted preemptively. Well, what does that tell me about the relationship here? You violated another country's sovereignty because Israel told you they wanted to do it? So you did it for themselves? Oh, bravo, brilliant. I mean, it's like these little criminals that are like, oh, well, you know, I kind of committed a crime, but my friend was beside me and he was going to do it anyway. So I thought, like, well, I'm going to do it anyways. It's layers and layers of lies and blackmail. If Israel wants to wage a war against a 80, 90 million people country, they should do it. They should do it and they should pay the price of it. It's not a solution to be doing it for them. At some point, the little bird has to be pushed out of the nest and has to grow its own wings. Israel needs to be able to fly by its own wings and defend itself by its own missiles. Buzimi says, Jeff, you are woke, right? Yeah, well, that's another term they will come with. But it's so disappointing to see the absolute unleashing of just the regular program of American propaganda just repeated since the 90s. Same thing, same thing. Terrorism, support of terrorism, countries harboring terrorism, countries maybe connected to terrorism, countries with terroristic ambitions. Weapons of mass destruction? Well, ambitions to have weapons of mass destruction. And as Tucker Carlson was pointing it in his excellent one-hour video, although there are some bizarre things about this video, but generally I agree with him. He points out, if Iran was at the border of developing a nuclear weapon for 50 years, where's the pressing element here? And I think that ultimately this decision by Trump will probably lead to a rebalancing of American politics and probably a defeat of the next Republican candidate. Already we see Gavin Newsom coming out very strong, and he says, where was the pressing need? Where was the threat? So the threat was that Israel was about to strike Iran, so you did it for them? Why not let them do it and see if they succeed and then see if they get punished for it? But the fact is that America has been taken to be forced. America has been brought into this quagmire for decades. And the why do we even have bases there? Why do we have all of these bases that are meant to surround Iran and do just like we did in Ukraine, basically? Start these little bio labs and collaborations and, oh, we're going to send our social media marketing woman there to push revolution. Let's do psyops. Let's do psyops against Russian interest in Ukraine. Well, there you go. Now we have all of these bases and these assets. And now all that Israel has to do to convince the president of striking another country is saying, oh, well, we're about to do it. We're going to do it. And the absolute state of misinformation across the internet is very hard to sustain. So I know that people like us, we should be out there defending the truth. But it's very hard in the cacophony of the current feed to even matter by stating the truth. It's very hard because even big names are publishing crap. AI videos, oh, Iran is fighting back. Missiles are being sent toward Israel. I haven't seen a single genuine video. All of it AI, all of it old. All of it, I remember it from a year ago, from 2 years ago. So you guys are creating a false sense, a false impression of some kind of victory coming against Israel. And it's bullshit. It's bullshit on all sides. Now, not to talk even about the bullshit of the mainstream media, which is clapping at the idea of kneeling and sacrificing American lives to Israeli interests.
Good evening. Welcome to Washington. I'm Brett Baer. We're coming to you tonight live from the White House. And breaking tonight, President Trump says the U.S. has a ferocious, unyielding resolve to crush the terror threat posed by Iran. He's also calling the current action a last best chance to strike and eliminate intolerable threats by a, quote, sick and sinister regime.
All right. Well, the regime is dead now. Now what? As Tucker Carlson was pointing out, now what? I mean, you couldn't change Iraq and Afghanistan with 200,000 soldiers in there. You couldn't even change these societies being in them. You think you're going to change a 90 million people society with resources and allies? How are you going to change? And as Tucker, I think that that's the peak analysis of Tucker. It's that this is a war without a plan that is ultimately meant to cause chaos. It is an intentional causing of chaos in Israel by Israel, and it is to be interpreted as truly an idiotic move. And people cannot conceive of the degree of greed that leads to this kind of decision. The degree of, well, I don't care. I'm going to just destabilize this nation. The degree of kind of terroristic thinking that it requires. And yet, this is the very terroristic thinking that is being pushed in mainstream media by the Trump supporters. Marco Rubio is extremely clear about what led to this.
The United States conducted this operation with a very clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully.
Why are the boats of Iran a threat to our naval assets? It's because we've circled Iran in a way that you would never let America be circled. We've circled them on the ground with Iraq and Afghanistan. We've circled them on the sea with boats. So you are circling a nation with aggressive intent and a history of striking them for absolutely no reason but the fact that you don't like how they do their economic deals. So what we have here is forced dealing. We have America and Israel feeling entitled for countries to choose them as business partners. But when you use forced dealing and the consequence of refusing the deal is to be killed or to be invaded or to have a regime change, you are not truly engaged in negotiation, and those are not deals. You are appropriating wealth that does not belong to you. And you are making it so that all of the people in these countries, in some form, through their production and natural resources and to whatever you obtain through that deal, you are making them slaves of yours, which is the motivation of Israel here.
Successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic.
So this is weird. So we attacked this country because we had information that if they were going to be attacked, they would reply. Isn't that true of every nation on Earth? If they were to be attacked by some other nation, Israel, they would reply. Isn't that true of Russia? Isn't that true of China? Isn't that true of any country? So you're attacking a country because they would reply if they were attacked.
And in fact, it bear to be true, because in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is...
So Israel was going to strike them, and we knew that they would reply, and so we struck them. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen any solid evidence that all of the damage in the Middle East that is currently being made in the countries of the Gulf are to be blamed on Iran. Honestly, I believe that there may have been some accidental strikes. I believe that there may have been some misdirected missiles from missile defense. And I also believe that maybe even some of these strikes actually came from Israeli missiles. But when you see all of the Gulf destabilization, and we've seen some oil places being exploded and burning, I don't know that this is Iran only. And I don't even know if it's Iran at all. I believe that right now the wise thing to do is to reserve judgment. And of course, the American government will be pushing the idea that any explosion in this region comes from an Iranian missile. I will not believe this until I see evidence. Because what I do see, is first, Tucker has reported that somehow in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, there has been Israeli agents arrested. Because they were planning some sabotage operations. They were planning to blow up stuff related to the oil infrastructure. Now, that is a very important fact. And I'm willing to believe that Tucker is serious about having fact-checked this stuff. He reports this here in this video. Last night in both Qatar and Saudi Arabia, authorities arrested Mossad agents planning on committing bombings. So if I see things blowing up in the Middle East, I'm not going to assume that that's an Iranian missile until you show me the path of the missile. I would like to see those paths. Because what I see is an Israel that is overly greedy, that has already conquered effectively half of the Middle East on the Western Front. Egypt, Jordan, these countries that have been submitted to Israel's will, including Saudi Arabia. And it would seem that they're not even happy with this. They want more. They want more control. They want Iran down. And they even probably have interest in destabilizing these other nations. You'll remember the Arab Springs. What were the Arab Springs? Well, it was a bunch of Israeli interest in America pushing with their big tech and social media, as effectively pushing revolutionary psyops in the entire Muslim world. And of course, their big frustration is that it hasn't worked everywhere. This has been their big frustration since. In fact, in a way, Twitter is born of this. In a way, Twitter is born of the need of the American military, and that was mentioned by Jack Dorsey. He was very happy about the role of Twitter in the Arab Springs. In a way, social media, in the form that it is, as a news feed, has kind of been arising from these psyops, really. They were really ways to push psyops, first and foremost. Now, we ended up making use of social media to actually provide information to the people. But that wasn't the intent. That wasn't the plan originally for social media. Stephen Robinson says, Israel has goals. Greater Israel is an actual map and patch on IDF soldiers' shoulders. Yeah, so everything is happening around this place. So you have Israel. Israel has been successful at conquering with money and payouts countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia. And they've been capable of destabilizing North African countries using American soldiers and various pushings of revolution. They have been successful at pushing out the leader of Syria, who had to flee to Russia. And they are constantly bombarding Lebanon with the idea of destabilizing it and eventually increasing their control over this area. They have been successful at having America invade Iraq on the western front of Iran, and then, oops, Afghanistan on the right of Iran. Now, if I'm Iran, I see what's coming. So I have all of these American bases, well, that had been established over the last few decades in Afghanistan. I have these revolutionary movements that have been funded by Israeli interest in America in Tajikistan, Georgia. So there's literally not a country we haven't fucked up. There's literally not a country around Iran that we haven't fucked up, except Pakistan, right here. So Tehran is in the northern part of Iran here. And when you look at Iran, it's kind of a sad country. It's desertic mountains, but extra concentrated residential block areas. So it's a very inflated population, but look at the regularity of it. Boom, all residential stacks. It's kind of sad, but it's a very populous nation. So that's the context of Iran. And Israel, of course, is unhappy with the fact that it doesn't have in Iran a partner that they would like to control, that they would like to profit from. And in fact, the greed of the state of Israel doesn't even stop there. We have heard from a minister or from a politician in Israel recently that the next Iran is Turkey. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Turkey is in NATO? you want to strike Turkey, really? It's absolutely stunning, and Tucker Carlson laid that out in his 1 hour and a half speech. But effectively, we have a Israel who feels entitled to conquer this whole area, or at least put it under economic control so that they can isolate China, India more and more. Meanwhile, we have the Strait of Hormuz here. So here you have the full image of the success and failure of American colonialism under Israeli leadership. So, you know, when you hear about the Gulf Wars, Kuwait, right here. So it's all about this Gulf here. And that's because there are roads that lead exactly here, close to Kuwait. And this is where a lot of the gas, natural gas, oil, converges from the whole Middle Eastern world onto boats. So this area right here is the porting area. Now notice something. American colonialism has split the Strait of Hormuz continuation right in the middle. So we've invaded Iraq. There was a Kuwait war. And we have collaborative, kind of Iran non-sympathetic countries in Saudi Arabia. But we haven't succeeded, despite trying, at penetrating Iran and doing a regime change. That was an attempt. What was it? I don't even remember the date. Was it in the 60s, 70s? There was an attempt to change the Iranian regime, unsuccessful, caught red-handed in the bag, and therefore this has been inaccessible. So basically what America has done under Israeli request for the last 30 years is to, instead of taking what they couldn't take, Iran, they took Iraq and they took Afghanistan. And then we ran out of Afghanistan. So the Persian Gulf, boats start here, and then they have to pass through this small channel of 30 kilometers, which is the Strait of Hormuz. Now, this strait right here is a location where you have a problem of American colonialism. You can control Dubai all you want. You know, this is why you can go to Dubai and it's a Muslim nation, and yet they will serve you these millionaire foods and millionaire experiences in hotels. It's because American colonialism worked up to here. American colonialism worked up to exactly here, but not on the other side, right here. On the other side, you're in Iran. And on the other side, you have an Iran that is now capable of bombarding any passing boats, which they have done. And so in punishment for the American Empire effectively killing their leadership and beheading the political leadership of Iran, which, as Tucker Carlson was pointing out, is basically the Pope of a segment of the Muslim religion, you know, because there is a leader Khamenei is kind of viewed as not just a political leader, but a religious leader of a form of political Islam. So that's a large section of the Muslim world, and you just killed their Pope, basically. They started destabilizing here by saying the Strait of Hormuz is now closed. And we have seen some tourists in Dubai filming videos where some missiles appear to have landed toward Dubai. Now, whether that is a strategy of the new Iranian leadership, whether that's a response, whether that's to punish or destabilize even from Iran or whether from Israel, I don't know. I don't know what struck Dubai or what struck these. There's also Qatar, I believe, that Qatar right here would have received some strikes. I don't know if those are flyovers that were caught. I don't know if there were these countries very often for serving America and Israel will host various anti-missile defenses. So sometimes if Iran wants to send missiles toward other regions, they have to think that these regions potentially have an ability to scan the skies and stop en route. Same things for the American bases in Iraq. So when you see a missile striking an American base in Iraq, and we know that there's already four dead recognized on the side of the U.S., is it from Iranian missiles? Is it that the Iranian missiles were aimed at neutralizing the defenses first? Because let's not forget, we're there, and we have our military personnel holding radar stations and anti-missile defenses. We are effectively there to protect Israel from getting straight shots from Iran. So that's what America is doing. That's what America is doing in the Middle East. It is, let's be the shield for Iranian bombardments of Israel, but not Israel bombardments of Iran. We're going to let the missile pass one way, but not the other. And so there were several also F-15 jet pilots that have been shut down, and it seems by Allied defense missiles. So it seems friendly fire, among others from Kuwait, it would seem. So there were American operations that were dropping bombs onto Iran to kill the leadership. And there were Kuwait air defense system that shut down the American jets. It would seem a couple of jets at least. And it would seem that the pilots have survived in some cases, although they have not revealed the four people who are dead. What are they dead from? I would bet that some of them may have been dead from friendly fire, because we had one pilot that landed and that was filmed, landed in Kuwait, so got shot by Kuwait, by friendly fire from Kuwait, but ejected in time. Maybe there are other pilots that didn't eject in time. We can't know very much because the American government is keeping shut. And when they are keeping shut, I tend to believe that it's because the information is not particularly honorable. And there is nothing that is more bad for the morale of troops than to understand that the big danger is friendly fire. So it's a war that is going nowhere simply because there is no plan for what will happen after the death of Khamenei. Do we know whether that will improve, make things worse, better? No idea. As far as I can see, I don't see why it would make things any different. The leader of a nation is never really a problem. The nations, they operate on their own forces and they converge in a direction no matter what you do. Any person that is selected from the people, if anything, has a risk of being more military than Khamenei was, because Khamenei, you have to grant it to him, has been enduring a lot of invasion of his sovereignty. And all that he ever sent back was a couple of cute missile salvos that we knew were neutralizable by the defense system of Israel. If anything, you should or you would predict that the next leader will not be like this. Urban Planner says their plan is instability, which is what's disgusting about this all. I mean, Khamenei appears to have been killed in his home with his daughter, it seems, or a young girl. There is a moral price to pay for America for constantly doing wrong in the world. And it's reached a point where I consider America a slave empire. This is where I agree with Fadam and what he was saying in the Patreon chat room. We have to understand that our vision of America, whatever it is outdated. And America is a slave empire that has been conquered with money and that has this whole slave class of warriors who are just willing to do it. They're just willing to take lives for no reason, no justification. Sadie Edwards says, Ukraine was a trap to weaken Russia. Now Iran will be the same to America as NATO arms Ukraine, Russia, and China will rearm Iran. That's exactly what I would expect to happen. What is there to gain from this? What do we have to gain? I don't think we have much. And I am always extremely disappointed at the degree of carelessness of China and Russia in this. They are letting their allies down way too often. They are accepting what is very clear long-term strategy from the Judeo-Christian empire to surround them and to limit their actions and to limit their possibility for development. There is a point at which you have to see what's going on. You have to acknowledge the reality of what's going on if you're China. Now, we had China come out and say, well, we condemn those strikes. Those are invasion of Iranian sovereignty. Well, sure. But at this point, you're going to have to realize that either you will be the isolated China empire limited to just China with impossibility for collaboration and commerce because the whole rest has been taken over by the American empire, or you will find a way for Iran to be able to defend itself. That's the choice that we've put China in front of. And historically, China has been again and again cowering and stepping back. And Russia has been stepping back from its engagements in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Syria. So we have been effectively playing dirty and winning every time. Winning by these countries ending up abandoning control. But what we have is we have an unnatural situation that is developing over Iran that will force Iran to, or at least that's the hope, force Iran to either go into chaos or to even be subservient to the American-Israeli empire. What you ordered, Elon Musk with a rocket, and what you got is Trump playing Legos while Netanyahu is leading the U.S. This is a perfect illustration of what's going on. So we had those strikes in Iran. It's actually hard to find reliable videos. I believe that this is a strike inside Iran. So a complete invasion of a people's sovereignty who haven't done anything. Meanwhile, Israel is very, very interested at causing disorder and using the opportunity to do their strikes, including on Lebanon. So many strikes happening in Lebanon. you have the bloodthirsty media people like Mark Levin. No off-ramps. Destroy these subhuman barbarians. Cluster munitions on ballistic missiles. This is a war crime. Bro, I think you should step back from this conversation of war crimes. Because you guys have just annihilated an entire civilization in Gaza. Literally every building razed to the ground. And now you're being alarmed that there's a specific kind of ammunition being used by Iran. When was this video coming from? And in any case, it was probably a reply of Iran post-strike. Now we have Trump who came and made a statement. Not very strong, not very convincing. I believe the Republicans should. They should be punished for this in in the midterms and in the next election. We have to deal with the fact, and this is what I believe Nick Fuentes has been trying to do for many years. We have to deal with the fact that, yes, the right is right. It's the right direction. Yes, we are right-wingers. But as long as the only right-wing option in America is being held hostage by Israeli terrorists and neocons, we might as well not take it. Because what we are being told essentially is, yeah, you can get your nation without male invading woman sports, but you're gonna have to help us kill other people if you want this. And this is the hostage extortionist situation in which the leadership of America has put the population in. And I say, let's just vote for the Democrats. Let's just say, okay, we're going to protect our own families from the whole LGBT propaganda, but we're not going to sign a deal with the devil. We're not going to sign a deal with the devil where we get what we want from a social conservative standpoint, but in exchange, we have to sacrifice our own people and our own morals to be playing police around the world. And we're playing a very, very unjust police. Bulk Park says you can have Zionist domestic policy or Zionist foreign policy. Not sure what that means, but that sounds like an interesting statement. So black-pilled at the moment, says nationalist, nationalist. And you can see how they activate the exact guys that are always rooting for the Israeli regime. Trump will avenge the 3 lost troops like something never seen before. Hell is about to rain down on the Iranian regime. It's like these people are celebrating further American engagement. When the whole idea of Trumpism was to get out of endless wars. Now we are being reassured. We are being reassured by everyone in the administration. This is not the same thing. Pete Hegseth, by the way, what a fucking shameful guy. Pete Hegseth, using his little mimetic ways of phrasing, he sounds like a black pastor. He sounds like a black female pastor. It's like, he was saying, this sure ain't no regime change war, but the regime did change. Ha ha! Okay, so it's a regime change war. I mean, you just killed a regime within 24 hours. That's a regime change war. But it sure ain't no regime change war, as they call them. But the regime did change. Ha ha! Like, oh God, that's your big plan? That's your marketing plan? We're gonna we're going to just say that it's not a regime change war. And in the very same sentence that we recognize it's a regime change war, we're going to say that surely not a regime change war. Wow. Wow. We have evolved so much since the 90s. I'm with Richard Spencer on I want George Bush back. Please bring George Bush back. Because at least he was honest about it. At least he was saying, okay, we have to wage a war for civilization. Okay, but now we're getting told by Pete Exec, it's not a regime change war. But the regime did change. And we also have J.D. Vance to cradle us into... This is why the whole history of J.D. Vance is worrying. This is why we should be worried about the J.D. Vance president. Yes, Sadi Edward, it wasn't a regime change war in my mind. See, I identify as a military interventionist that does not do regime change wars.
Empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East. I understand the concern, but the difference is that back then we had dumb presidents, and now we have a president who actually knows how to accomplish America's national security objectives. So this is not going to be...
There's no objective. The objective is in Netanyahu's mind. See, this is something that the conservatives haven't learned from. You don't engage with delusion. You don't engage with greed. Greed is never satisfied, never sated, as Tucker Carlson stated it. And we've had domestic issues in which that came to be the lesson that should have been learned. You do not succumb to the demands of the left when they try to impose how you speak about their gender. Because what's in their mind doesn't matter to what's in your mind. And the degree of satisfaction of Netanyahu with the state of his homogeneous Middle Eastern empire is in his mind. And there's nothing you can do in reality that will satisfy this. We are in the exact same situation we were with all of these weirdo demands from the left. We are dealing with minds. We are dealing with people who will never be satisfied. I'm trying to find the video of Pete Exec because it's quite hilarious. Quite shameful. Let me try to get to it. By the way, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat or use the Streamlabs option. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. So listen to this. Listen to this double language that you have to use when you are on the side of lies and on the side of murderers and on the side of terrorism. Because what we are doing in Iran is terrorism. There is no other word for it. And I don't mean it in the cringy way of the George Bush t-shirts. I mean it for real. What we are doing seeks to destabilize a nation to the point of internal violence and internal conflict, with the idea of controlling and terrorizing the next direction of this country. That is terrorism. That is what a terrorist usually seeks to accomplish.
Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional...
Oh, you mean like Israel, like the U.S.?
...shield for their nuclear...
Maybe Canada should strike the U.S. They've been building conventional weapons.
Clear blackmail ambitions. Let me say that again. A conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambition.
Okay, so it's a shield. We have attacked them with a shield. We have killed their leaders with a missile shield. Interesting language. Pretty aggressive as a shield. I'll say this. You know, I've been playing RPGs a lot in my life. Some shields you can throw. But generally, we don't think of a missile as a shield. But he's stuck because he has to explain a defensive action that is fundamentally not defensive.
Our bases, our people, our allies, all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It almost worked.
So it's been 50 years that Iran is trying to develop a nuclear bomb. By the way, their ally, Pakistan, has a nuclear bomb. So it's like, if like the goal of achieving the nuclear weapon, they could just buy one from Pakistan, literally.
Under Obama and his terrible deal, but not under this president. Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel.
Here you can see those are the Pete Hegseth memes. This is absolutely new. This is a per creative contribution of Pete Hegseth to the domain of justifying war. When he starts with this, you can see his accent changes when he says this. And it's like he's about to drop his Hegseth meme. And then he drops it like with attitude.
This is not a so-called regime change war. But the regime sure did change.
I mean, everything, the intonation, the timing, this was practiced again and again. If anything, it's been generated by AI.
This is not a so-called regime change war. But the regime sure did change.
The regime sure did change. I mean, bro, this is where I gave up the concept that I have anything to do with America. It's like you guys are speaking like you're black female pastors. That's how bad it is. You guys have been so raped over demographically that you're fighting wars for Israel and you're developing memes that are shaped in the form of what a black female pastor would say with black female attitude. And what's left? What's left of white America in this? I must have a misconception. I was wrong. I felt like America was a Christian white nation. And now I see the truth. No, it's not. There just happens to be a bunch of Christians who live in there. And even them, much of them are willing to serve other interests. So does it really matter then that they're Christians? Dave Smith making some humor about it. Iran is currently bombing Israel in a clearly unprovoked anti-Semitic attack. That was in response to the Iranian response, which we haven't seen much of the damage. We've seen a lot of fake videos and outdated videos showing the strikes from 1 or 2 years ago. I have yet to establish to what degree Iran struck back yet. Kim Iverson was sharing some of her thoughts. What I'm gathering is the Israeli Allied forces had no plan, nor an idea of what victory looked like. They literally just thought bombing Iran and killing their leaders would set off a domino effect or something like that. Meanwhile, Iran, having been told repeatedly for the past 4 decades that the U.S. is coming for them, having watched the U.S. wage countless endless losing wars, they've been able to meticulously study, has crafted a coordinated counter-offensive plan to run us out of their region. See, this is the one point where I'm not sure that Tucker Carlson's interpretation is correct. And I believe to an extent it's kind of too Israeli sympathetic. Tucker Carlson has the theory that Israel is causing chaos in the region so that American bases get struck and America gets tired and America leaves the region for leaving and leaves the ground open to Israeli conquest, basically. That is the theory as it is laid out by Tucker. I'm not sure about that. I think that Israel has been enjoying the American presence, has been fully benefiting from it. And I would be very surprised that they want America out, because they're still a very small nation. I don't know if they can reoccupy the American corridor as it stands right now. I don't know that Israel would be capable on its own without the help of the American military to take over Iraq portions, for example, to install potentially air defenses that can catch Iranian missiles in advance. So I think that that's a little misinterpretation by Tucker Carlson, to think that Israel is doing all this to get us out of the Middle East. Not sure about that. Now, I do believe that they are doing so for the purpose of destabilizing these other regimes and for the purpose of hegemony. Andrew Wilson was pointing out on Twitter, if Israel and Iran destroyed each other, most Americans wouldn't care. Well, I would like this to be the impression. It shouldn't matter what's happening. What's happening on the other side of the world. But it's been mattering more than any domestic issue in America for the last 30 years. For the last 30 years, what is happening in this region of the world has monopolized the American balance in politics and the American media and the very ability for the American media to be able to talk about the truth. So it's those are grave consequences, which we can't even have a discussion about the truth. We have to have the entirety of American politics revolve around Israel's interests. Apparently, this is claimed to be a Chinese worker filming a Iranian missile strike in Tel Aviv, but again, very hard to determine if that's true. So that would be Chinese workers on a Chinese working site in Tel Aviv. There was lots of smoke plumes. And we see people like Tim Pool using their usual, "Oh, I'm just kidding," type of tone on X, but ultimately making the defense of the neocon view by normalizing it. People were telling me, "Well, JF, he's kidding." Well, I don't care if he's kidding or not. If you're normalizing the destruction of human life and the invasion of other countries' sovereignty through comedy that is kind of Israel siding, I'll put you in the basket. You're as bad as the neocon, as far as I'm concerned. Is there even literally one argument as to why we shouldn't take over Iran or Canada, for that matter, or Mexico? Now, understand here. This kind of it's a joke of range. So it's a joke in which the person makes then an exaggerated claim, which normalizes the real claim. So when you say, "Oh, yeah, we should take over Iran and Canada and Mexico," what did you just do? You've normalized that we should take over Iran. That's the mechanism of a range joke. And it doesn't matter to me that then Tim Pool is, I'm against war in general. No, I think that Tim Pool has been subverted by Netanyahu when he went to that meeting. He felt in the club. And I believe he's absolutely compromised. I think he has too much Israeli interest on his team. And he can never truly defend an anti-war stance. That's why he's jungling with comedy to justify stepping over the fence.
Trump's law again. Whatever Trump does, he does for Israel.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the donation. Indeed. You have reminded me many times, Eric, that it is the Trump law. And it never failed. It really never failed. There's really nothing that we can attribute to Trump that wasn't ultimately serving Israel. CBS report on the reactions of the Iranian people. It's not death to America. It's thank you. And a new dawning. So as happens very commonly, American propaganda media, although CBS, is it Canadian? Is it? I don't even know CBS. Anyways, across the American empire, there is pro-war propaganda and this idea of liberation, which, by the way, this whole concept of liberation has been pushed in all American interventions of all kinds, PSYOPs included, up to Ukraine and down to Libya and Afghanistan. We haven't liberated these countries. We have ceded human suffering and human death at scales that are hard to comprehend. Oh yeah, Canada is CBC, so CBS is not Canada.
The Iranian people, what are you hearing from them tonight? We know they're celebrating. What's the feeling?
It's an incredible dissonance that they had to choose war over a regime, but they were willing to do it. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you, America. It's not death to America after they killed the leader. The Americans and the Israelis did it. It's not death to Israel and death to America. It's thank you. It's a new day dawning, but very early days. Very.
Just like all of these nations that we've destabilized during the Arab Spring. What will happen? What is the plan? You wouldn't have a plan if you were in there. You wouldn't have a plan if you had a million American soldiers on every street of Iran. Because these countries are very hard to manage. They are countries where the entirety of the society is against you, but they won't show you. They will use taqiya, they will use an approach that is not revealing their true intent. And so you can be in Afghanistan for 20 years and yet not change the nation at all. Hopefully we would have, well, I would have hoped that we could know this from the experience. But the regime continues, the American empire continues to act as if those lessons were never learned. And that's because ultimately they don't have the good. The people who are leading America, they don't have the good of the American people at heart. America is a tool to them. America is a tool to people like Bill Ackman, who are now calling for respecting the great sacrifice of the dead American soldiers. The greatest sacrifice one can make is to give up one's life for another. In this case, for hundreds of millions of Americans, 90 million freedom-loving Iranians, and the rest of the world from whom a nuclear and terrorist threat is in the process of being removed. Words are inadequate to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice. They will never talk about you that way while you're alive, by the way. The Bill Ackmans of this world, they're happy when you die. And they start respecting you when you die. And I, as I was explaining on my Twitter, It's a little bit in the same way that the farmer is treating his cattle. He gets attached to them. He respects the sacrifice of the cattle. But in the end, the moment of the death of the cow is the moment where the farmer cashes in on it. And in the end, he's attached to his animals. But the ultimate function of these animals is to die for him. And that's okay. I'm okay with that while we're talking about cattle. But that is how the Bill Ackman of this world sees the warrior puppets that are serving his interest in the American military. Their function is to die for what he wants. And that's why the greatest respects that he achieves is when you die. Because then two of his enemies are dead. The American soldier and the Iranian that he killed. And there's nothing that will make a Bill Ackman more happy than this. Two dead with one stone. We have here a person who has been sentenced, I believe it's in Alberta. So a trans and identifying person who cut the throat of his daughter, who is 7 years old, and he's just been put in jail for 5 years. Now, 5 years is not much, but I guess it didn't qualify as murder because the daughter survived. And somehow he was on social media talking about all this.
Good morning. It's your favorite hobo you love to hate. I just wanted to do a check-in, let people know that I am being...
Yeah, so the prosecutors only asked for 5.5 years, and the judge says, I will give a severe sentence. But, I mean, you're talking about someone who cut the throat down to half the esophagus and a large portion of the esophagus cut of his own daughter.
Safe. I'm being secure. I have taken care of my needs, and I am just...
Oh, well, his needs are taken care of. Well, great. Now, this guy is in jail now. Somehow he was free. Somehow he was free throughout the trial.
Chilling until I actually go for my sentencing. And, yeah, I did kind of realize that we do have a highly unique opportunity here. Whereas I'm someone who did something heinous and I'm on social media. Whereas...
Oh, what an opportunity. We get to know... This is bizarre, bro. We get to know... We get an opportunity to understand the mind of a man who committed an heinous act. Somehow he's aware that it was an heinous act, but he committed it?
A lot. Pretty much all. The other people who do something heinous get locked in a box and blocked out from society, and they don't get to talk to them. So, like, does it put me at risk? I'm already at risk. So whatever, I guess. Yeah, sure, it does. But also, I know that I'm going to do everything in my part to not hurt anyone else in society. For sure. Like, nope, I'm good.
Okay, he's good. Well, good news, I guess. Wow. He's good. He's cutting the throat of his daughter was his last bad move. Going forward, we're good. So when he gets out of jail in 5 years from now, no one has to be scared. He's good. Yeah, there are these people who are constantly on the side of Israel, and this guy, like Zero Hour, has been constantly pushing war propaganda and making himself look like he's not at the service of Israel. But again and again, this guy has been siding with an aggressive stance against Iran. And he's like, I'm not Jewish, but I personally, I'm over the bullshit. The amount of hostility directed at fellow Americans based on religion is over the top. Criticizing foreign policy, fine. But the shit I'm reading, it's borderline ISIS chatter. I mean, this guy does this kind of post again and again. It's not even the first post like this that I see. Every time there's something engaging Iran and Israeli interest, he always comes out and, oh, I am so appalled by how the Israeli people are treated here on this platform. It's like, well, if Canada was annoying everyone and bombarding everyone, I would expect people to come and say, Jeff, you Canadians, you damn Canadians, you're the most annoying people I've heard. You keep bombarding us. And I'd be okay with this. Like, I'd be like, either I would say like, oh yeah, we bombard you and I like it. I want to keep bombarding you. Or I would say, well, I understand your hatred of the Canadians, but know that I do not agree. I do not agree with the actions of Canada toward your country. If I led Canada, I wouldn't have bombarded you. But these guys, it's like, no, they have to make it about anti-Semitism. It has to be about this. It's a disparate state of affair that we are in. A very sad days. Because the world is not headed toward a better state from these actions. We have created a chaotic and unpredictable situation. There will be repercussions that we cannot measure at this point. And I don't want to root with the peoples of any side here and start rooting. Oh, they will take revenge against Israel. I don't even know that. I don't know anything about what would happen. What I do know is this was an action that will probably be followed by other destabilizing action. And it was done solely for serving Israel and for satisfying Netanyahu and the donors and the people to whom Trump is indebted, to which Trump has succeeded effectively at getting elected the second time he retried. And he got elected on conditions. And Trump has understood and unfortunately sold his soul to the people who were capable of making his election a reality. And that is what you have to accept in America. You have lost control of your political systems, and therefore your presidents are acting to the very people who they serve, and it's not you. Sauber, as a judge, says, "Hi, JF, did you see Mitaker's tweet regarding the Iran attack? As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Mitaker was dead 2 years ago from massive, uncurable cancer invading every part of his body. I would be very surprised that he tweeted about the Iran attack. I would be very surprised about this. Now sleep well, everyone. Much love. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be on the Courrier du Coeur, so maybe I'll have my show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Maybe let's do an Ask Me Anything tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Much love and bye-bye."